good to see us this morning. It's good to be back with you again today. And I watched the services live. Well, I watched the morning one later, but I've seen the two live services. You had two great meetings, and you had great ministry with Pastor Glenn and Pastor Michael Bunting as well. Thoroughly enjoyed the preaching. And I'm just going to move this because that annoys me something there. Because I can't see some of you there. You're hiding behind that, you see. There we are. Bless the Lord. Will you turn with me to the book of Hebrews, please? Hebrews chapter 4, just two verses here at the moment. Hebrews chapter 4, please, verses 12 and 13. For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. The Lord bless his word this morning. Let us just pray. Father, we thank you for everyone in the precincts of this tent, for the children in children's church and the leaders of the teachers, for those in the creche with the babies that look after them. We pray your blessing to be upon them. We think of those who are away on this bank holiday. We thank you for so many out. Lord, when so many of taking it off to be away with their families. We pray your blessing and refreshment to be on them and bring them back safely among us, refreshed and ready to serve. Bless thy people this morning and take your word and bless it to our hearts and glorify your name. Speak to us, Lord. Speak to our hearts. Challenge us. And Lord, we ask you to compel us, convict us, and oh God, comfort us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to speak this morning on the subject of our daily reading. As a Christian, our daily reading is generally thought of as when we sit down with the Bible and we have a reading. We read it, we open it, and we read it. The Hebrew writer here, in these two verses of Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 and 13, is placing the reader before the word of God. So this morning, as we're gathered around the word, we are placed before the word of God. This is a terminal point where all of man's illusions, thoughts, fanciful ideas, and false impressions of self, of society, of sight, of what we think we see, and about salvation. This is where it terminates and comes to the place of facts and absolutes. Facts and absolutes. When the illusion and the false impression and truth meet together, even the reader or the hearer this morning has come to the place of challenge. It's come to the place of challenge, but that challenge is for change. Where the word of God challenges our hearts, and the word of God in our hearts changes the man and changes the woman. So we set God's word in front of us to read it, our daily reading. This morning we set God's word in front of us to read it from Hebrews 4, verses 12 and 13. But in fact, and in all reality, we are set this morning. You are set this morning in front of God's word while God's word reads you. We set the word down, we read it. You can read a magazine, you can read a newspaper, you can read online an article, you can read from a website. But it doesn't read you. But the word of God, when we open the book and when we sit down to read it, it's the word that reads us. So our daily reading is not just Hebrews 4, 12 to 13, but rather it is when we ask, how was your daily reading? It is, how did the word read you? We think of maybe someone at home, they hear a knock at the door and it's the electric man come to read the meter. Well, here is the word of God comes to read your meter. And the word of God says, how are you doing in the light of the divine, inerrant word of God? So how were you read this morning? When we leave here, how's your heart, your life, where you are before Christ, or you're not with Christ at all, where you are in the place of salvation, where illusion and false impression of all of our minds can have us think we're okay. You're not saved, maybe, and your false impression is, sure, we're all right anyway. Or as a believer, as a Christian, the word of God reads me. When I open the book, it reads me. It reads my heart. It reads you to straighten us up. It reads us to convict our hearts. It reads us to convince our hearts to walk in the right way with God. It reads us. So our daily reading is, when it reads us, how did we read? How did we read? In Hebrews 4 and verse 12, it says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. The word here, quick, is the word zao. And it means the word of God is living. The word of God is alive. That's why you could read a magazine, you read a nice wee story, but it won't change your life. You can read a self-help book and you have to try and change your life according to a self-help book. But when you read the word of God and the word of God enters your soul, the word of God changes you. The word of God changes you. And hence people can profess with their mouth they belong to Christ. They can profess that they have given their life to Christ, but there's no change in their life, which means they are not Christ. For if there's Christ in the life, there will be change in the life. But if there's no Christ in the life, there's no change in the life. Has your life changed from the day you met Christ? People say I struggle. People say I can't give up this or that or the other. People have said these things throughout the years. I would have said it myself before I was saved. And you're right, maybe you can't give up whatever it may be. You certainly can't be saved in your own merit. But when a man and a woman comes to Christ and the word of God reads them, they realize they're a sinner. They realize they're not saved. And when the word of God comes and enters the heart of a man and a woman, that man and woman must react to the word. You're responsible now this morning. Do you know that? You are responsible this morning for what you hear, how you receive, or even reject. We're all responsible if God is reading our meter. The word of God is showing us
Whereas Christians, we live wrong, we have done wrong, we have been wrong, we have said wrong, or wherever it is, and the Word of God is saying to straighten up and walk on with God, then you are responsible, Christian, this morning, to take the Word and do something with it. Come into line with it. And if you're not saved this morning, you're responsible because the Word of God tells you you're not saved. The Word of God will show you you're not Christ. And you are responsible, and there's no excuses should you stand before God without Christ. The Word of God is quick. It is alive. It will change your life. This term, quick, zao, in the Greek text, it is to make alive. It is used some four times in your New Testament. Three of the times, it is used to mean quick in the dead. And this is the only time in Hebrews 4 and verse 12 where it is different, that the Word is alive. Let me show you one of these if you want to turn to your Bible. 2 Timothy 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, please. I'll find it myself with you. Let your eye run down. Tell you what, let's just read from verse 1. Listen to what Paul says to Timothy. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, notice, who shall judge the quick and the dead. There's the word, the quick and the dead. The living and the dead. It's coming a time when Jesus will return and all of us will stand before God. We will be judged by Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and the dead who have died without Christ will be judged according to their sin and rejection of Christ. But the quick are those who are still alive, and they will be judged according to how they stand on that day before God. The living, it means, and the dead, the quick and the dead. Notice, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick or the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Notice then, linked with the Word of God, here is Paul's exhortation to Timothy. Preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. So here he's saying, Timothy, you really need to dig deep. You really need to preach the Word. It's not about gimmicks. It's not about patting backs and scratching ears. And we're going to read that. He says, you need to bring the Word, for it's not about telling nice wee stories. It doesn't change your life. It's about the Word of God that changes the life of a man and a woman. So preach the Word, he said. Notice here, he says, for the time will come. We're at that time. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Even in many churches now today, the people don't want the meat. Many are still on the milk. They're happy just in their little cocoon. Well, you know, I've made a wee profession and I don't want to rock the boat. I don't want to step out here. I don't want to be labeled with Christ. Just leave me alone and give me a nice little thought to make me feel good, to pump up my tires. Let me go home with spring in my step and joy in my heart. But Paul says, preach the Word. Notice what he says, reprove. Do you know there's only two times that the Christian is, or the preacher is meant to preach? There's only two times that a Christian or a preacher is meant to preach or speak the Word. Do you know when they are? Paul tells us. In season and out of season. Covers every time. No matter where you are. And he says reprove. People don't like to be reproved. Church doesn't like to be reproved. Rebuke, there's even worse. Rebuke in Oh, that guy's too hard. He's too severe. But this is all to do with the soul of the man and woman, the changing of the life before Christ. To live with him, to walk with him. That we will have a relationship with Jesus. Exhort them, he said, with all long suffering and doctrine. Teach them. Christians need taught. Christians need the word. They need to know the doctrines of God. Speaking at the meeting last night, and there's a wee man and woman there, they're an older couple. And they come up to me and they said, "You'll not hear that in the Methodist church I go to." That's what they said to me. Well, what are you hearing? What are you hearing? And even Christians now are leaning on, instead of facts and absolutes, they are leaning and trusting and walking in and believing false illusions and impressions of their own mind and heart. But when the living word is taught, when the doctrine is given, when rebuke even comes, or reproof or exhortation of the word of God, and those who want to walk closer with Christ, those who don't mind having, as it were, the spiritual jab in the nose, those who don't really mind the word of God, as a Hebrew writer says, piercing their heart. Oh, that one was hard. That one was difficult. But I'll tell you, those people who don't want it but say, "You challenge me, Lord. Show me where I'm wrong. Show me how I can get closer to thee. Show me thy word. For it's in this word shows us Christ. For he is the word of God. The embodiment of God's word." And it's those who really want to know him with an open, a true, and an honest heart, who want all their illusions and false impressions of who Christ might be to be brought into a biblical perspective of God. They will find that they're getting closer to Christ. Do you think Christ is where you go? We go sometimes. Do you think God approves of what's happening in many churches today? I'm not saying we're perfect, by the way. That's why I'm bringing it to our church. That's why I'm bringing it to you and to me. Remember, this is a two-edged sword. You know where it cuts when it goes to you? My heart too. Mine as well. And Paul says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine." Notice, "but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears." Paul says there's going to come a time when they're going to say, "Tell me smooth things. Easy listening, church." Pastor, pump up the tires and send me home with a spring in my step and let me think, well, sure, it's a beautiful day outside and all is glorious and wonderful, so send me home like that, Pastor. Don't send me home with a challenge in my heart. Listen, I couldn't send you home with a challenge in your heart. If there's a challenge in your heart, it's a challenge from the Holy Spirit. It's a challenge from the Holy Ghost, not from the preacher. For the Holy Ghost challenges me too. Challenges myself. He says they'll have heaped to themselves teachers having itching ears. Notice, "and they shall turn away their ears from the truth." Now the truth, Jesus in John 17:17 says, praying to his Father, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." And so what he's saying is, This word here in Hebrews 4 and 12, the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Here now, Paul is saying there will be those who will turn people away from the truth, from the rubber hitting the road, from the knees down and calloused in the places of prayer, from the exhorting to gather together one another in the house of the Lord. They will turn it away from the glories that are in Christ. They'll turn you away from, by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God and not of works, lest any man should boast. He says, and they'll come and they'll say, you'd be a good person, you'll be all right. You were christened or baptized, as some would call it, sprinkled as a child. I was too. But I was lost. It done nothing for me. Absolutely nothing. And they'll turn you away from the truth of needing to be in repentance before God, trusting in Christ alone at the cross. They shall turn their ears away from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. Listen, Timothy, he's saying you need to get a bit of grit about yourself, son. You need to get something in the spiritual inner lining of the heart. He says, you need to dig deep here because there's going to be afflictions that'll come. Hardship will come. Tough times will come. But you need to stay firm on the word of God. Brother, sister, stay firm in the word of God. Now, I love singing. I love those hymns. I love the worship. Loved it. I love the worship. So this is not against the musicians because I sing myself. I try to sing. I shout and make a joyful noise to the Lord. I try to play at times, as you know, and sometimes we have a good old going at the praise and, you know, we can go for a while. And it builds us up and it encourages us. Yes, it does. But I'll tell you, brothers and sisters, see when you go home and close your door, and when you go home and close your door and it's you in the four walls, or you're lying in bed at night looking at the ceiling wondering what's happening next, worried, afraid, concerned, it's not the worship you've done that's going to help you there. It's the word. It's the word. It's the word of God that's alive in you. The word of God that will challenge you. So in 1 Timothy Chapter 1, Paul mentions this word, quick, or the quick and the dead. Let's go back to Hebrews 4, please. Well, you'd hear a pin drop here this morning, couldn't you? So it's either it's warm and you fell asleep, or the Holy Spirit speaking. Speaking to hearts this morning. For the word of God is quick and powerful. Just check and make sure. Synchronizing the watch, that's okay. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. This word powerful here is the word energes. In the Greek text, energes, and it means it's active, it's energizing. So in other words, the living word, the word that is quick, it is living. When it's in our heart, whether it's to challenge or to convince or to convict or whatever it does, there's an energizing source about it that when we do close our doors and we're on our own, the word in our hearts is that which carries us on, gives us the strength, the ability, the very energy to go on and go on. Maybe lying at night and you've got an illness, you don't know what's going to happen to you. You don't know what the doctor's going to say, what the hospital report is. But the word of God in you comforts your heart, directs your mind to Christ. The word of God in you speaks in you When you're challenged with temptations, it's the word of God which keeps you in line. And unfortunately, many in the church don't have a daily reading or a study of the word of God. And hence, they collapse at a time of calamity. They collapse at the time of calamity. So this word, energeis, active or energizing, it means the word of God is living. It's active in us. It energizes us to say, you know, God is still in charge. God has me in his hands. God will never leave me nor forsake me. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. The word of God says these things to my heart in my time of concern. The word of God tells me, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. Come on, son, you can do all things through me. I'll strengthen you. Notice, this word energeis for powerful is made up of two English words. En, which means with. En, which means with. For example, when a woman is expecting and she's pregnant with her child, she's carrying the child, the word en means she is with child. With child. And the second word is ergon. And it gives the idea of work, energy, that which anyone is occupied with. You know, you work hard, your mind's fixed on it, and you've nothing else but fixed on to get this done. And when this hard work is done, you find that there is a product at the end of it. It's the finished product. It gives the idea that the desired results have come to pass. That's the word, the idea of this word, ergon. And when you put en with and ergon together, it's the same word here as powerful. It describes a measure, an action that accomplishes that which what it was meant to do. So the word of God is living and it accomplishes in your life, accomplishes in your heart through the change of the man and the woman, change of desires, change of thought, change of walk, change of speech, change of action, change of love in your heart. And God, the Holy Ghost, through the word, he accomplishes that which he set out to do in you through the word of God. Brother, sister, maybe you're at a place of giving up. You find things difficult. Maybe you've been disillusioned or discouraged. And maybe, I'm just going to give this ministry up, or I'm going to give that up, or I'm going to do this or that. Listen, don't give up. God's not finished with you yet. Do you hear me? Don't give up. God is not finished with you yet. This word, the word of God, is quick and powerful, energeis. It's also used for the word effectual. Effectual. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Corinthians 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And let your eye run down the chapter, please, just for verse 8. Paul says, but I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost. So Pentecost Sunday is marked today. But notice, I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost. Verse 9. For a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. Now take note, God has opened the door for him. It's a great door. It's effectual. See the word effectual? It's the word energeis. For the word of God is quick and powerful. The word effectual is the same Greek word used here. For the great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. Notice here, first of all, this open door, this door is a great door. Another, it gives the idea of it is extensive in opportunity. See, when God opens the door, there's a great opportunity happening. It's extensive in opportunity. So it's a great door of opportunity. And it's great because it's effectual. Gives the idea that it requires great labor with the opportunity of you through the Word and the Spirit and the ability of God helping you producing great results for Christ. That's what Paul said. So there's a great door. And the factual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. Now, see the thing about the adversaries. Paul knows if he gets this door, this is the going forth of the gospel into a places where the gospel obviously is never heard. This is a new message because Christ has not long died and risen from the dead. This is probably about 20, 30 years later, off the top of my head. And he's going to bring this message, and it's a message that others would not have heard before, but there's adversaries everywhere. So what he's saying is, we must be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We must be strong because there are adversaries against the gospel. Now here's the thing, brothers and sisters. The word of God cannot change. I'm going to say it again. The word of God cannot change because of men and women's illusions and thoughts of their mind. It doesn't matter what we think. People ask you, well, what do you think about this? And it's maybe an emotive question, something to draw you, to hook you in, to maybe try and get you into a wee bit of trouble, you know. You know those sort of people that want you to answer so as they can, you know, maybe get you in the papers or something. You know how you answer them. It doesn't matter what I think. It really doesn't matter what I think. It's what does the word say. It doesn't matter what Ken thinks. It doesn't matter what the pastor thinks, the Pastor Glenn thinks. Or it doesn't matter what the oversight think in CET. It doesn't really matter what we think. The word of God always stays the same. It's what does the word say? So Paul is saying there's a great door opened and it has the potential to do great things for God. And there's people here and you have the potential to do great things for God. That God opens the door for you to do great things for his name, but many times we use it to do great things for ourselves. Is that right? This half said yes, and that half said no. But Paul is saying that there are many adversaries, and you'll have adversaries. You'll have adversaries in your home, adversaries at work, adversaries among your neighbors, adversaries everywhere about it. You're going to have adversaries. But here's the thing, and you need to remember this, opposition. Opposition often accompanies opportunities. Every opportunity you have, not only to witness, to testify, to speak of God and of Christ, of how you were saved. What a great opportunity. But you'll have other adversaries as well. You'll have adversaries. I was talking to a man not so long ago. And he said to me about a meeting he runs, and he says, I'm getting it tight. I'm getting it tight. Somebody's giving me a hard time. And I looked him in his eyeball, the eyeball, and I said, so what? So what? Don't worry about them. You stay true to the word. You stay faithful to the Lord. And let the Lord deal with everybody else. Somebody against you, an adversary this morning, you stay true to God. You stay true to the word. And let God deal with them. Now listen, the wheels of God sometimes grind slow. But I can tell you they always grind exceeding small. It seems slow that God has taken it into heart. But when he moves, he grinds them small. Paul says there's a great door open and there's many adversaries. I'll tell you in the Lord's will what we'll do next week. I'm going to take you through a few of the doors of the Bible. We'll start with this maybe next week, or we'll start with another and come back to this. And it shows you the whole plan, prophetic plan of God, opening doors. The whole prophetic plan of God, right through to God reaching the house of Israel in the wilderness. Reaching you and I to this very day. And calling us unto salvation. All to do with these doors in the Bible. Right through from the Old Testament to the New. You see, this word is true. Now listen, brothers and sisters. See this word. This word isn't a Protestant word. This word isn't a Roman Catholic word. This word isn't even a Jewish word. This word isn't any human word. This word is God's word. This is the word of God to every one of our hearts. To every person here. I'll round this up and we'll look at something. Look at Philemon, little one chapter book of Philemon, if you will. If you're an American watching this, Philemon. That's why they say. It was way last year, as you know, ministering in America, and usually we would have went every year. And when we first started going, Alison and I went over. When we first started going to America, and they just could not understand my Belfast accent whatsoever. I've had to try, I know it's still there, like, but I had to try and really try and refine it. And I remember the first day I got up to bring the word, I said, "Will you all turn to John chapter 8? And everybody sat looking at me. They're going, "John chapter 8. And they all started talking between themselves, like, "What did he say? What did he say?" And the pastor, Jennings, says, "I can't understand a word you're saying." I thought, well, this is going to be a task here, having to get through this now. You know. So I said, "Okay," and went, "Howdy, we all turn to John chapter 8, please." "Ah, okay." And they all turned to John chapter 8. You know, Alison and myself were out, and we went to Walmart, and I was speaking to them, and says, "We're at Walmart today, first time in Walmart, you know. And we got a trolley," and they all burst out laughing. They went, "What's a trolley?" You know, it's a cart. You know? I said to another one, we're driving down the road, and this lorry cut us off. And they're all going, "What's a lorry? A lorry? What's a lorry?" And I says, and Pastor Jennings showed up, "It's a truck," you know. So for our American friends, Philemon. Praise God. Where was I? Yes. It's only one little chapter, but we're going to look at verse 6. Listen to Paul. "That the communication of thy faith may become effectual in the knowledge of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus." That word is energeis, for the word of God is quick and powerful, or it's active. It accomplishes that which it was meant to do. You let the children know they can come up, please. We're finishing here. Notice what it says. that the communication of thy faith, in other words, how you have lived according to the faith, how the word has changed you, Philemon, how you've changed coming to know Jesus as your Savior, how the word of God has come alive in you and changed you, Philemon. That's what he's saying. He's saying, in your faith, according to the word, your faith has spoken to so many. It's effectual. In other words, that which it is meant to do, the living before God, according to the word, the living it's meant to do, he's saying, has become effectual and will have accomplished, finished results, which it was set out for. That's what Paul's saying in this short verse. So how is the living word living in us? How is it affecting our lives? So our daily reading is, what is your reading this morning? When the word of God reads your heart. Does the word of God read your heart this morning? And you've realized, I'm not right. Lord, help me here and we'll get right with God. Does the word of God tell you that you're not saved and you need saved this morning? God's word reads your heart and tells you. You see, the word of God is forever settled in heaven. The word of God will never change. It's the inerrant, unchanging word of God. Which means all our false thinking and illusions of who God is and God is all right with me and I'm all right with God, when we're absolutely not and he's absolutely not right with us. It doesn't change. It's like me running into a brick wall. Doesn't matter how many times I run against it. I'm going to be the one who comes off the worst. I'm going to be the one who's battered. I'm going to be the one with broken noses and bones and skull. I'm going to be the one who's hurt. Until I realize I can't fight against this. And I stop doing that. The world wants to change. The world wants to change. The word. Did you hear me, brothers and sisters? The world, society, wants to change the word of God. Society, the world out there, wants to change it. My brother Ken was telling me about someone, a well-known, a common minister of the gospel, or used to be, I don't know the man. But he said Adam and Eve in the Bible weren't human. They were humanoids. Weren't real people. You know what he's trying to do? He's trying to appease the world. He's trying to change the word. But it doesn't matter how much he writes with how many letters behind his name. The word of God is forever settled in heaven. It says they were male and female. It says they were man and woman. And that settles it. That's it. So we can't change it. I can't change it for my family who aren't saved. I love them, but I can't change it to appease them. And you can't either. I can't change it for whatever lobbyist group comes along and says we need to change it to be all encompassing, all accepting of everything they all want to do. We can't do that either. Because the word won't change no matter how much we try to appease. And so the word will fight against the world. The world will fight against the word, which means fighting against you and I. Now we're to live peaceably with all men as much as it lies within us. But at the same time, we are to obey God rather than men, as the apostle says. So let the word live in you and change you. This morning. So we set God's word in front of us to read it, but in fact and in reality, we are set in front of God's word while it reads us. So the question this morning is, how's your daily reading? How's your daily reading? May God bless his word to our hearts. I used to love being challenged by my pastor. I used to go home challenged. I used to love it. I'd have went home and then I'd have went out for a walk and couldn't wait to get out that night to hear what else he was going to tell me. Challenge of the word. Jesus is still in the saving business. And he still changes lives according to his word. Team, would you come up, please? I'm sure the children will be up very soon. We'll sing unto the Lord as we close.